is Thaddeus Laugish of Morehead. And the reason I asked him to join us is because he is a Democrat who was announced he is running for Congress in the 7th District of Minnesota. That is the district that is currently represented by another Democrat, Colin Peterson. Peterson has not yet announced whether he's running for re-election. We assumed he would announce by now. Normally, he announces by this time. But meanwhile, Laugish is in the race right now. Thaddeus Laugish, our guest, he's in the race right now. And I do not remember up until now, somebody could call me if I'm wrong, that Colin Peterson, since he was elected in 1990, has ever been challenged by a fellow Democrat in the primary phase. Obviously, he's challenged in the general election by Republicans, but I do not recall other Democrats challenging him for his seat. So with that, I would like to welcome Thaddeus Laugish of Morehead to the program. Thaddeus, welcome. Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to have you here. Frankly, you caught my interest in the fact that you are running in this particular race. So before we talk specifics about the race, people don't really know who you are. Can you give us a little brief background about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a designer and safety director for a agricultural commercial contractor here in town. I'm also a resident artist of 4 years. I've grown up in Bellevue, Nebraska, on Offutt Air Force Base. I was a child of the Bellevue school system there. As I grew up, met my wife, went to college at Concordia and Seward, decided to come up to her hometown of Wahpeton, North Dakota, where I decided to change my studies to architectural drafting and estimating, where I graduated, then moved here to Fargo, then eventually bought a home in Morehead about 10 years ago and been there ever since.
Very good. So, why are you running for Congress as a Democrat in the 7th District of Minnesota?
Well, I follow the Democrat Party, really. I am more for the working class more so than I am for the executives. I'm running against Colin Peterson in a way because I feel that he has contributed to the stale conversations that Washington currently has, where the working class always gets left behind. We've been practicing over and over again trickle-down economics that always fail and only result in the debt that trickles down instead.
As you probably know, Colin Peterson was the only Democrat in Congress, in the House, who is still a Democrat, to vote against both articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. If you were in the House at this time and voting on the impeachment issue, would you have voted to impeach Donald Trump?
I would.
And why would you have voted for impeachment?
Because his practices of abuse of power is creating new precedences that others will follow in his stead. It's a dangerous situation that will only get worse as time will press on.
Now, Peterson, he never, you know, he kind of said he didn't believe the case was made, but most observers think the reason he didn't vote for it is because that district is a big Donald Trump district. Went for Trump by roughly 30 points. That would not have influenced you? I mean, you would have, regardless of the fact that it's a big Donald Trump Republican district, you still would have voted for impeachment.
Country before personal career.
And is there anything specific about what Donald Trump had did, which is why you were convinced that he should have been impeached?
Yes, he clearly used his counterparts, even some that weren't officials in our system, to get dirt on at the time, a really predominant candidate. This welcomes foreign power into our election process, and we cannot have that.
If Colin Peterson decides to run, and again, we don't know this, but if he does run, are you going to make his vote against impeachment an issue?
It's always going to be an issue, but not per se. I would focus more so on more progression than he has not yet done forward. In the agricultural industry, of course, he's been progressive in it, and I would continue that. However, when it comes to our education and it comes to the everyday working class well-being, he's been quiet, especially when it comes to women's rights.
All right. Well, let's talk about that. Colin Peterson is about as conservative a Democrat as you can find, and he votes against some traditional Democratic issues, such as the abortion issue, where just recently he went on record as saying he wants Roe versus Wade to be overturned. So,
and he publicly demonstrated that as well, standing outside of the Capitol building, too.
He was there on the day of commemoration. Okay, so I gather from your statement that you disagree with him on that. So what is your position on the abortion issue?
Frankly, it's not my place. It's no one's place in the government to decide whether or not a woman should be able to do what they can with their body. That's between them, their family, their doctor. I have no place in that. No one should have a place in that that doesn't know what's going on fully.
So just like I asked you with the impeachment issue, would this be an issue for you to raise if, in fact, Colin Peterson is running for re-election, the differences between you and him on the abortion issue?
It is a concerning issue because he is trying to control more than half the population of our country right now through telling them what they can and cannot do with their body. When's it going to stop?
There is another issue where Representative Peterson has upset some traditional Democrats, and that is on gun control, which of course is a very hot issue. He has been against some of the basic gun control legislation that has made its way through Congress. Where are you at as far as what you would like to see when it comes to gun control?
We need to focus on our education more. I think the responsibility of owning a gun has extremely lacked over the past few decades. There's no proper storage of the gun versus separated from the ammo, to where we are literally giving these children open hand guns to, or access to them rather. And with the loopholes through our gun shows and everything like that, eliminates the need of the background checks to make sure that guns do go into the rightful hands.
All right. So do you support legislation that would have stronger background checks?
Yes, I would.
And why is that?
Because we need to ensure that the people that have an weapon that can fatally injure someone else, like we do a vehicle, has the proper permits and goes through the proper licensing in order to make that happen. If we have to get a permit and a driver's license in order to operate a vehicle, why can't we have anything like that established for a firearm?
Okay, Mr. Laugish, hang with us.
Yep.
It's weather break time, and we don't want to keep too... We are back. Jim Shaw, Fargo Forum columnist, your host today and tomorrow on the News and Views Radio Network. Megan Edwardson, your producer. Our guest is Thaddeus Laugish, a Democrat. A Democrat, that's why it's so interesting, challenging Colin Peterson for Congress in Minnesota's 7th District. When last we left, we were talking about gun control legislation, where you significantly differ from Congressman Peterson. What is your opinion about an assault weapons ban and or limiting magazine capacities?
First, yes, we need to limit our capacities. There is no reason why, if someone is hunting or whatnot using this AR-15, to have more than plentiful enough rounds in it. Bump stocks is another issue that should be also looked at. However, the removal of the gun itself right away, I don't think is really the approach that we should take first. We should focus more so on our education and how we are housing the gun, making sure it's locked up properly like we were taught back when I was a young child going through hunter safety courses. We need to focus back on the responsibility of owning the gun more so than removing it.
All right. And I also asked you about magazine clips. Some of them fire 100 rounds or so. Should we limit the number of rounds a magazine clip can contain?
Sure, of course. 100 magazine clip is insane. Unless you're going to sit there and just blow away a target on practice day, there's no need for it. We are in a secure country that we shouldn't have to have that kind of a need of a protection, period.
Listeners, I encourage you to get involved in the conversation. Give us a call at 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346 or send us a text at 35270. We have a caller. Karen, welcome. You are on the air with Jim Shaw and Thaddeus Laugish. Go ahead, Karen.
Hello. I'm from North Dakota. What is the community you and your wife live in like?
Our community is just on the other side of the river in Moorhead. We're actually north. We were just annexed into the area about 3 years ago into the city of Moorhead. So we do have a more urban yet rural environment that we are able to see deers in our backyard, wild turkeys running across and everything like that. But yet we're only a minute away from the big city of Fargo.
Oh, I thought you said a different community.
No. Karen, do you have a question for him about any of the issues?
Well, I like what he said about gun control.
Well, thank you.
There you go. Okay. Karen, if there's nothing else, we appreciate your call. Thank you so much. All right. Let's talk about some other issues here. Probably the number one issue for Democrats right now is health care. So do we stick with Obamacare? I'm assuming you want to have something. I'm assuming you don't want to get rid of everything. Do you stick with Obamacare and add on to that? Or do you want Medicare for all? Or what do you prefer when it comes to health care?
Well, the Affordable Care Act was a good stepping stone to get us in a direction towards what I would prefer is a single-payer health care system or a Medicare for all or medicine for all. Too many people have to decide today whether or not to pay their bills, go to see the doctor, or even afford the medication that the doctor prescribes to them. There's too much gamble that is happening that everyday people that have preventable issues are dying because they cannot afford their medications.
So what do you want to do? How do you want to deal with this healthcare issue?
I want to join the cause for a single-payer system like you see with Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. We need to focus
Medicare
on
for
the right.
All.
Yes, it is a right that we have access to our health.
And what critics say is Medicare for all is not affordable. How do you answer that?
I say you have to look at the numbers again. I mean, right now we have a system that we have to pay an insurance company no matter what for them to possibly cover some of our medical expenses that we have to accrue that we choose not to have ourselves. It's asinine that we sit there and let this continue as we continually give money to a company that denies our access to medical.
All right. Let's move on to another topic here. The deficit. This is just me, my observation. The deficit is a big deal to Republicans when Democrats are in power, but not so much a big deal to Republicans when Republicans are in power. So that music means we have to take a break. So when we come back, I want to hear your opinion on what to do to reduce the deficit and if we need to raise taxes to do so. So that's the question I'm going to ask Thaddeus Laugish, candidate for Congress in Minnesota's 7th District. We'll talk to him more right after this break.
If you guys have any thoughts or you'd like to share with us questions, you can certainly call us at 1-800-880-5346 or 237-5948, or you can certainly text us 35270. Jim Shaw, guest hosting for Joel Heitkamp this morning on the News and Views Radio Network. He will also be in tomorrow with a full lineup. More with Jim Shaw, guest hosting for Joel Heitkamp, and Thaddeus Laugish, challenging Congressman Colin Peterson right after this.
Columnist Jim Shaw, your host. Megan Edwardson, your producer. Glad to be here. Our phone numbers are 237-5948 or 1-800-880-5346. Our text is 35270. You are more than welcome to call in or text about our current guest who wants to be a congressman from the Minnesota side, the district that borders Fargo. His name is Thaddeus Laugish, and he's running as a Democrat, even though the current seat is held by a Democrat, Colin Peterson, who was first elected in 1990. So Colin Peterson is being challenged by someone from within his own party. Thaddeus, as I was teasing you about the break, I wanted to ask you about the deficit and taxes. The deficit has exploded under the Trump administration, and it went hand in hand with a dramatic decrease in taxes, especially for those who are very wealthy. So my question to you is, how do you address the deficit, and are you in favor of a tax increase, or at least a tax increase on the wealthy to try to combat the deficit?
Well, we need to close the loopholes that currently are in place that lets those big companies get away with not even paying anything into our tax system. I'm considering myself more of a resourceful type of person, to where we can utilize existing programs in order to reshape them to make the need that we have here in the 21st century, to where we don't necessarily have to spend like people always suggest to do.
Easier said than done.
It is.
This is how Congress works. All right. There are no votes in raising taxes, and there are no votes in cutting programs. And that's how we get to where we are. The votes are in, hey, look at the bacon I'm bringing back for you. Look what I'm paying for. Look at how we're increasing the Defense Department. No one's going to brag about raising your taxes, even though spending is out of control. So I go back to my question. Are you in favor of raising taxes on the rich to try to offset the tax decrease, the tax cut they received under President Trump?
Of course, by removing those loopholes that they currently have in place to get around it.
I'm not talking loopholes. I'm talking tax rates.
Tax rates do need to go up for the wealthy. That's without a doubt, because they do need to contribute to our society. Everyone in our society is equal to making it a society. And we need to make sure that everyone that is in society is well taken care of. That includes food, shelter, water. And if that requires an additional tax on the wealthy in order to make that happen, then yes, we need to look at that. However, going back to where you said that they do not want to remove programs, we should look at those programs, restructure them, utilize them to get benefits that we need
That's easy to say. What programs would you cut? What programs are excessive?
Well, I don't know the inner workings of our internal government to a point to be able to tell you right now off the bat which programs will and will not work.
Well, and that's typical, and I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying I have interviewed so many politicians over the years who say, yeah, the deficit is crazy, the deficit is bad, we have to cut the deficit. And then I ask them, okay, so what programs are you going to cut? And nobody ever has any specifics. They just talk in generalities about let's go after waste and let's go after loopholes, but they can't say we have to take several billion out of this and several billion out of that.
Well, let's go back then in history a bit. If you look back in the 90s, you see the privatization happening in our military government. I've seen on Offutt Air Force Base where a lot of the programs and divisions were pushed over into a private sector. At the same time, our budget for our military keeps going up extra. I can't even fathom how much money keeps getting thrown in there every year. We need to look into our military budget and see exactly where that money goes.
Right. But what's happening, and this is not sustainable, is we have increased spending while we have decreased revenue. So we are in a really bad spot when it comes to our finances. This deficit is very real.
Yeah,
and it's man-made. Congress did this, and if Congress did it, then they should fix it. That's just my opinion. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to David. David, you are on the air with Jim Shaw and Thaddeus Laugish. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I'm a gun owner in Moorhead, and I've got dozens and dozens of your 100-round mag clips, which don't exist. Those are drums, and they're magazines, for one thing. You guys talk about banning things. You don't even understand what they are, how they work. And I'm just curious to what your solution would be to, after you've made them illegal, now what are you going to do with the people that own dozens of them?
Thaddeus, that's a good question. What do you do with those? Would they have to turn them in, or how would that work?
You'd have to have some kind of compensation back for it, because you did spend your own hard-earned money in order to obtain those. You should be able to get a credit back for them as well.
Would that be a problem? I would imagine that would be a problem. People are not going to willingly turn in something that is illegal, some kind of firearm. Would you agree that could be a problem?
Well, it could be a problem, but it would only be a problem for those that are not using their weapons properly, that are not storing them safely. If you are following proper procedures that you are taught and that you're supposed to be taught in order to handle and maintain and house that firearm, then you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Right. That's your perspective. But I'm looking at it from the perspective of the gun owner. And he owns, maybe he owns an assault weapon. Maybe he owns a high-capacity magazine. The government is telling him he can't have that anymore. His attitude might very well be, well, that's just tough. I'm keeping it. Come get me. I'm not turning it in.
Well, that's only going to cause more problems to
right.
you
but,
and
but,
the government.
But I think that's a very real issue. If you pass that, you would need to address it. And I agree that we should have a restriction on high-capacity magazines. Nobody needs that kind of firepower. That kind of firepower is only for one purpose, mass murder, mass shootings. But the hard part is getting those magazines out of the ownership of the gun owner. That would be a real challenge.
It is a real challenge that's going to take more than just one person's ideas in order to make happen. We have to actually have to sit down with multiple people as well as those gun owners that do have those magazines and come up with a good solution that can help all more so than just one or two.
Let's switch gears. Megan got a text from someone who lives in Moorhead. It's a two-part question. No cheating allowed.
Yep.
The question is, what's the price of soybeans, and will you be as strong an advocate for farmers as Colin Peterson is?
Well, the price of soybean right now has to be, I'm assuming, around $9 now. It was projected to go up to $9.42 after the quote-unquote great trade deal was re-signed, but it is, I believe, sitting at about $9, if not just a bit shy right now. Of course, I'd be an advocate for the farmer. I would give the farmer other options in other industries, such as industrial hemp, because our soil is the best in the world, especially for that plant. And with the industries that can follow it, be it CBD, like the commercial that was on earlier, as well as for paper, for structural materials. I mean, there are so many applications that we could take advantage of that, and we can do that. Right now, the corn has been at about $3, $3.42 for the past few years. That's been hurting the corn grower, that we need to utilize different avenues for our corn as well, such as refocusing on ethanol as well as plastic. Corn has been a good secondary item to our plastics that do help us with our climate issue with a mass amount of use of plastic, that corn could help in that industry as well.
What is your opinion on the tariffs imposed by the Trump administration and the subsequent payoffs to farmers to try to compensate them for any losses they might be receiving from these tariffs?
Well, the tariffs were a slap in the face to them because it closed out a lot of multi-generational farmers last year alone. Then to sit there and give them a handout was an insult to them because they're hardworking individuals that now feel that they are part of the welfare system that they have before themselves complained about others receiving as well.
Let's switch to another topic. I know this one is near and dear to you. Education. You have some ideas of what you want to do with our educational system. What might those be?
Yes, our education is extremely lacking. We are if you look at PISA, we are 25th among the nations in reading, math, and science. That's not good enough to compete on a global scale. But we have to really break down and start at the beginning, and we have to first ensure that each child has a food or has a meal at school, both in the morning as well as at lunch, because a child needs to focus on their education more so than the 100 pains in their stomach, and it's something that they can't even control. If they can't afford the food, then they can't get it. It's not their fault that they cannot afford the food.
Thaddeus, we got to take our final break. I'm going to keep you here because we have another caller coming, and I have a few more questions. So hang with us, and let's get our final update on the way.